Welcome to the house of God. It's been such an honor to worship with you today. My name is Joanne Moon. I'm one of the pastors here at Echo Church. And it's always my joy, it's always my privilege to deliver the word of God to you. I am a beneficiary of the Rhesus ministry. As many of you guys know, I have three children. I have two sons and a daughter. My two sons are autistic, and so they present differently, but we almost never miss recess Saturday. I want to say we missed never recess Saturday. My husband is probably the first one to sign up. Like, the email pops up and he's like, I already did it. I'm like, I love you so much. I love you so much. So we've received so much blessing and respite and just a sense that, wow, my kids are loved there, you know, because kids don't lie. Autistic kids do not lie. If they don't want to go, they will show you with their whole bodies that they do not want to be there. But ever since my youngest daughter was 1 year old, somebody has been ergoing her with their little legs popping out and napping her in those 4 hours that they're playing and feeding and doing whatever. It is that so joyful for them over there. So I'm so grateful. And if any of you guys feel inspired, if any of you guys are planning to see if you want to be a part of that ministry, I pray that you would really make your way up to the room upstairs at 5:45. I think it's going to be a wonderful gift for somebody, my family and others who are in the community, even outside our church. So I want to share, Gio, my oldest, would be classified as nonverbal, you know? He does make sounds, you'll see him talk, but you'll kind of see him repeating a lot of phrases, you know, picked up from TV, from Kids Bop. Gosh, we're still stuck on Gangnam Style, you know? Like, that's many, many, many years ago, but the meditation that autistic kids often, you know, lean into, really, like, the song is still very much a hit in his body. And so, we don't get to experience him using phrases really meaningfully, contextually, often. But one of the things that Gio does that I find so, such a faithfulness from God, is Gio always says something that awakens my spirit to God who is with us. So a few years ago, Gio would always say, because we swim a lot, autistic kids, many of them love water, and my son is one of them, and so we go swimming a lot. I'll go to your pool, I go to somebody else's pool. If anyone give me their pool to the HOA, I will go to their pool. Finally, we have a pool in our backyard, and we're still looking for any kind of pools, bodies of water we can find, right? So in that season, Gio would always go into the pool, and he won't always look at me, make eye contact often and stuff, but he'll look at me once in a while, and he'll go, let's go deep. And you go, okay, you know? But you go, oh, is that something? But that whole season, I want to say for about a year, he'll be like scripting Gangnam Style. Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he'll go, let's go deep. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. And for me, it's become a prayer. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. And you know, something else happened in this season, this year. There's a new prayer on my son's lips. And it's, Holy Spirit, come. Isn't that beautiful? We do this thing. He goes, Holy, and I go, Spirit. He goes, come. And sometimes he says it so much. He wakes up in the morning, he goes, Holy Spirit, come. After school, he goes, Holy Spirit, come. Mommy, poo-poo, Holy Spirit, come. I'm like, oh my gosh, so much Holy Spirit, come. You could only hear it so many times. So you go, you say, so Gio goes, Holy. I go, you say it. You say it, you know, when I'm about to go to sleep, and he goes, Holy. I go, you say it. He goes, Holy Spirit, come. He says it with this steadiness that me as a non-autistic person with more capacities and more abilities to show just cannot keep up with, and I find that to be a real gift, and so I want that to be our prayer today as I open us in the Word, okay? So let's pray. I'm going to offer Gio's prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Out of the mouth of babes, out of mouth of disabled teenagers. Even the rocks will cry out to you, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, come. That is a desire of our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to go right into the Word. We're in Galatians series. We're in chapter 3. We're right in the middle. Okay, this is a centerfold. So we're going to go into Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. I read this passage many, many times. It's quite long. So is it on the screen? Yes. So I'm going to read it for us. Be in the Word with me, okay? This is the Word of the Lord. You crazy Galatians. Oh, holy. Did somebody put a spell on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus of your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they would complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It's not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Whew, okay. Let's keep going. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourself, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one could sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule-keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule-keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule-keeping, continues to live by them. We're in the home stretch, okay? Stay with me. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the Scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessings is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so how's the series going for you? Yeah, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, this is our fifth sermon in the series, so we're really in it, okay? We still have a whole nother stretch to go, probably until beginning of November. Are you getting familiar with what's happening in Galatians so far? If you've been with us from the beginning, I hope that you're kind of getting the gist of what's in the backdrop, right? Apostle Paul is deeply concerned. How many times did he say crazy today? Like so many times. He's deeply concerned that the Gentile Christians are veering off the path of the true gospel. Because the Gentile Christians are being misled and influenced by the Jewish Christian leaders who insist that circumcision is a way to complete their salvation. But Paul knows that any addition to the simplicity of the gospel is what? No gospel at all. Jesus is enough. Can you say that with me? Jesus is enough. You guys are like really good students. That's what it is. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. We've been bought with a price, and that price was the precious blood of Jesus. We didn't deserve it, but we've been chosen out of love. And we're now fully accepted by God, fully. So Paul pleads with them, hey, don't look to the law. Don't look to circumcision. Don't look to any other efforts on your part as a way to finish what the Lord has started in you. It's all grace from the beginning until now and until the very end of this race. It's all grace. So keep on living in that grace. So today's passage calls forth our attention to the reality that after we enter into a new life in Christ by faith, we can continue our relationship with God in one of two ways, right? First, we can continue now by our own effort, independent of God. Or second, we can live by the Spirit. Verse 14 says, we're all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing. We're to follow Christ not by our own efforts, not by our own judgment of what's good and evil. And I know some of you guys already believe this cognitively. It has registered in your mind. You have heard it and read it before. But practically, experientially, you still live by your own efforts, independent of God. How do I know that? Because a lot of our best discernment process still looks like the pros and cons list, what the rest of the world uses. We have lost sight of the Holy Spirit who leads us to live by the Spirit. In John 16:7, this is Jesus speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. These are Jesus' words regarding Holy Spirit. Jesus thinks it's better for us that Jesus himself goes away from us, far away from us. Why? Because then Holy Spirit will be sent to us. This new arrangement of Holy Spirit coming for us is far better than Jesus himself physically being next to us. According to Jesus, when you look at the Gospel of John, Holy Spirit will testify the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Holy Spirit will teach and remind us everything that Jesus has taught us. Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears God speaking. And Holy Spirit will tell us what is yet to come. And Paul tag teams with Jesus and he tells us that Holy Spirit will what? Lead us, testify that we are children of God. Holy Spirit will pray for us. Holy Spirit will help us understand what God has freely given us. Holy Spirit will teach us. Holy Spirit will enable Jesus' presence to be in us. Holy Spirit will transform us. Holy Spirit will bring freedom. Holy Spirit will seal us for the day of redemption. Holy Spirit will sanctify us, fill our hearts with God's love, give us spiritual gifts, strengthen us with power, and give us understanding and wisdom to live. Holy Spirit is awesome! Paul is pleading with the Galatians, live by the Spirit. To continue what God started in us, this new life that you and I are living in Christ, we need Holy Spirit's empowering presence. Only Holy Spirit could give us the success to continue and finish till the end. So the question I think for us today is, how do we promote the presence of the Spirit in our lives? Verse 5 says, God is the one who supplies the Spirit to us. But the question is how? So we're going to look at three means, three ways by which God supplies the Spirit to us today. Okay? So the first way that God supplies the Spirit to us is when confession meets Christ crucified. Jesus is a perfect Lamb of God. We sang about that today. And he is the one that takes away the sin of the world so that Holy Spirit can now indwell us. Holy Spirit. Before God's holy presence, if we were to stand in front of God's holy presence, it would destroy us, not sanctify us. That's the Old Testament, right? We could not stand before God's holy presence and live. But now, because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us, we stand in the righteousness and the holiness of Christ. And from that place of grace, from that place of free gift, totally unmerited by anything we ever did, we now have to continue what has begun, to live this new life in Christ. So we work out the salvation to begin the work of sanctification, to grow up and become in every way more and more like Jesus. So the key, the means by which God supplies the Spirit to us is confession. So say it with me, confession. Every day, we be praying, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Not just forgive us, oh, forgive me, but forgive us as we also forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is robust. It's not just a checkoff, just to flick off the guilt off our shoulders. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And true believers, we can't lose our union with Holy Spirit. He already indwells us. But what confession does is it protects our communion with Holy Spirit. Because our communion with Holy Spirit can get interrupted. It can get stifled in the presence of what? Unconfessed sins. When our sins stay unconfessed and just kind of pool there, just stuck in the corner somewhere of our hearts, they turn into sin habits, sin lifestyle. They turn into bitterness. They degenerate into despair. What can happen is we can end up living this new life by our sin rather than living by the Spirit. This is why confession is so important. Confession has to be a regular part of our Christian life. Acts 3:19-20. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. When we confess to God and I advise quickly, without delay, the whole story, without holding anything back. God's refreshing presence of forgiveness, we poured out on us. We don't have to live by our sin. We don't have to live by our pain. We don't have to live by our old festering wounds. These things don't have to lead our lives. These things don't have to fuel our motivation. These things don't have to determine our steps. We can confess to the Lord, and God will pour out His Spirit afresh. A time of refreshment, Scripture says. Our confession invites God's Spirit so that we can live by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. The second means of God pouring out the Spirit. God supplies the Spirit in our response to God's word. Now, when the word of God is preached, when the word of God is opened and read, when the word of God is meditated upon, sung, drawn, I don't know, there's so many ways to be in the word of God. There's two ways of hearing, receiving the word of God, right? We could hear with the ear, or we could hear with faith. Only hearing with faith invites the Spirit's presence. So if right now you're listening with no faith, no Spirit for you. I don't know. This is just what the Lord says. This is how He set it up. If you look at Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Take a moment and let that sink in. Do you know what grieves Jesus the most? Jesus was grieved by people who just didn't believe that Jesus would do what He said He would do. Jesus was grieved by people who lacked faith. Faith is believing that God says what He means, and He means what He says. If you look at Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man, so He doesn't lie. He's not human, so He doesn't change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? God is trustworthy." Amen? And He backs His word by the honor of His own name, because there's none higher. In the same way, God is so pleased by faith. One of my favorite gospel stories, there's so many, you know, but I return to this one often, is when the four men bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. When I think about that, it was a costly decision. It was a big undertaking. Carrying a grown man's body to the roof of a house and then lowering him down in safety before Jesus. There's sound of the crowd questioning their every move, right? What are they doing? Are they crazy? There's destruction of property that needs to be tended to even after. But Mark 2 and Luke 5 both tells us that through what these men did, Jesus saw their faith. And so when He saw their faith, what did Jesus do? He responded with forgiveness and healing. There's another story that I really love. And this is a story I love because I want to grow into it more. Oh God, make me more, shape me, inform me more by this story. This is the story of the Syrophoenician woman. There was a woman, she had a daughter who was demon-possessed. But what's remarkable about her is more than that. She held her faith through through denial and insults coming from Jesus. She goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, please heal my daughter. My daughter is demon possessed. And when you look at Mark 7, verse 27 and on, this is what Jesus says. He told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. This woman didn't get hung up on anything other than the truth that Jesus is good, Jesus is God with power to deliver. Isn't that powerful? Oh, God, make me more like her. I pray that you make us all more like her. We need to catch this for ourselves because, you know, a lot of us, we often get hung up by a lot of stuff. What that person said and the way they said it, even people's silences offend us. But what's remarkable about this woman is a resolve to only hold on to the truth of who Jesus is. She was determined. She stayed with her request before Jesus. She stayed in faith. Faith is so important in living by the Spirit. Say it with me, faith. Religious activities don't mediate the presence of the Spirit unless we do it with faith. Are any of you guys in Irvine Ecclesia? Woo-hoo! Where you at, Irvine Ecclesia? I know a lot of you guys are serving. I know for a fact that Dave and Rebecca are serving today, I think in the children's ministry. Dave and Rebecca host and lead that group. If you guys know them, this might be familiar to you. If you don't know them, you can get to know them. Recently, Dave led us in a time of prayer during a joint ecclesia that we did in my backyard. And if you guys know Dave, just the way he speaks, the simple truths of Jesus, he says, Jesus died for you. So he comes up. It's like in my backyard. We have some chairs and people are sitting on blankets. And he goes, let's pray. You guys, I don't know. I don't want to make him sound anything other than he is. But he comes and says, you know, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's worthy of our praise in every season. And you know how the way Dave speaks? He speaks with simplicity, but full of faith. Like right in the middle of my backyard. And the way his like kind of voice trembles and cracks, and he kind of like starts to well up in tears just saying, Jesus died for you. I find that the way that he believes in everything that Jesus is and the way he speaks really becomes a conduit for God's presence, God's Spirit to be released. You listen to him and you think, well, he really believes this stuff. Like not just on Sundays, not when the music is swelling, but like 5:47 in the afternoon in the sweltering heat as we're dodging mosquitoes. I don't know. You listen to him and you think, wow, God is here because of his faith. God supplies a spirit when we respond to his word with faith. If you look at Isaiah 66:2, this is the one whom I will look. This is God speaking. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God looks at the one. His eyes are on the one who hears his word with faith. God pours out his very presence into the life of that kind of a person. So you want God to pour out his spirit on you. Are you hungering for that? I am so hungry for that. I want more of God's spirit. I want more of God's presence in my life. I am not satisfied until God pours out more of His Spirit upon our church. And one of the building blocks, one of the ways that we can show that we are trustworthy is that you open your Bible daily and believe Him at His every word. You need to receive God's word in humility and faith. We need to be motivated to believe everything He says and watch for it to come true in our lives. And now, on the other hand, without faith, all we have is just a lot of activity. We might be busy, we might be checking off all the right things, but we will lack the empowering presence of the Spirit. This is why good Christians languish. They get dry. They get resigned to a bland, boring life. They still apply a lot of effort, all that rule keeping and upkeeping, but it leaves them empty and void. What we need is for God to pour out His Spirit as we have faith for every word of God to be true. And now finally, suffering. Say it with me, suffering. Who likes that word? Not me. Did you notice Paul mentioned suffering in Galatians 3:4? It says, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Why would Paul bring up suffering at this point? Why worry that the suffering will go to waste if they choose circumcision, if they choose rule-keeping, if they succumb to the pressures of the Judaizers? Paul is warning them so that the Galatians will realize it is at this specific point, it is in our suffering, that God supplies His Spirit generously. You guys know that throughout history, there's countless of Christians that have suffered for Christ. And they have testified in writing and by oral traditions. We've heard people say that they received God's full supply of the Spirit being poured out in their lives. They said, it's okay because the Holy Spirit is with me. I have experienced exceedingly great and sweet presence of the Spirit. Paul, being a chief suffering servant for Christ, has also professed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, when I am weak, then I am strong. I think there was a line like that in our worship song today. He says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. How? And this is God speaking now, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It means in His weakness, God's Spirit is poured out in power. And really, even in our lives around us, have you seen someone who's experiencing great suffering? They're experiencing loss. And yet, at the same time, what's different about them is that they have great faith in God in the midst of their suffering. Have you met people like that? God, make us more like that. Let us meet more people like that. There's a beautiful radiance on such a person. Holy Spirit appears to almost rest tangibly on that person. This person has a grieving, yet at the same time, a faith-filled heart. And I know, I can only imagine, that a lot of us are going through hard times right now. You might need a breakthrough, like in your career. You might need breakthrough in finances. You might need a breakthrough in your relationships with others. You might be under a lot of pressure. You might be anticipating a hard and grueling season that is upon you or coming. Or you might be living with pain, confusion, and heartache. And in your various degrees of suffering, the enemy wants you to believe. The enemy wants you to have faith for his lies that you are alone. you are lacking. You don't have a good future coming for you. You're stuck here, and there's no way out. So save yourself. Do something, make some efforts. God's not for you, so you gotta be independent. But that is a lie. God loves to show forth his power in the midst of our weakness. Suffering is neither a hindrance nor an excuse to experience God more, because we live in this upside down kingdom of God. Suffering is an ideal situation, a ripe place for you to receive a fresh empowerment from the Spirit of God. No amens, but I will say it. Amen. God is here. Spirit of the living God is so present in our suffering and ever ready to fall afresh on us as we draw near with faith. I don't know, you guys are either serious or tired. You wish you went on that vacation on Labor Day weekend. I don't know. But I want to invite you to sing a song, and it's not a punishment. I already was going to ask you to sing a song with me, okay? So it's on the slide. I really want to invite you, make it a prayer. I want you to sing it over yourself. And I want you to sing it over the people next to you, around you. And please, sing it over our church. And sing it with faith. Because that's what it takes for us to connect with the Spirit of God. There's no piano, okay? It's just me and you. With faith. With faith, okay? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Let's sing it again. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Echo, people of God, this new life that you're living out in Christ right now, this real life that we've been invited to live in Christ, it doesn't happen by our own efforts. It doesn't happen just by our best thinking, our preferred timing, our preferred arrangement. It can't happen independent of God. To live this new life you've been given in Christ's precious blood, the only thing God wants, the only thing Jesus wants, is that you live by the Spirit through every season. Come what may. Because you don't have to do it alone. Spirit is going to lead us. You don't have to figure everything out, because He's the one that's going to go before us and encourage us and empower us in the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ now alive in us. So let's live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a one-woman show today, because Pastor Isaac is in the youth group. Praise the Lord. Pastor TJ is a buddy. Praise the Lord. Pastor Jeanette is presenting her book in England. Praise the Lord. And so, today's Abide Sunday. We're going to have intercessors up here. I'll be up here too. We want to pray with you, if that's what you desire. Stay a while. If you want to just remain in the pews, if you want to get flat like Pastor Isaac suggested a couple weeks ago, we invite you to do all of that. Confess your sins to God so that you can receive a supply of His Spirit. Some of you guys are due for that. Don't ignore it. Make it today. Join your faith with the Word of God. You're kind of like, about something, but God has told you. God has spoken to you. Join your faith with God's Word today in prayer and receive a supply of God's Spirit. If you have pain, open your pain to God and let Holy Spirit come like a salve to cover and to mend, and also to show you which way you should go from here on out. Spend a moment today, if you're able, to allow the Spirit of God to fall afresh on us, because He loves to do that. He loves to do that. And when God falls on us and we have faith that He's with us, then we can live. We won't be tempted to live independent of God, but by the loving and leading of Holy Spirit, our great helper, our God. So I want to invite you to do that. And now, this is my final act. If you could join me in benediction, if you would stand. Let's take a minute to tell God something true from our hearts. Just tell God, because God is listening. He loves to commune with you. Tell Him something true. Bless His name. Echo Church, Holy Spirit is looking so forward to pouring out His Spirit on you afresh. So confess your sins. Daily respond to the Word of God in faith. And open yourself to God, even when things are hard. Expecting the Lord to come with encouragement, empowerment, refreshment, and peace. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Thank you. If you have to pick up